It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, what a great night we had on Saturday night. It was tremendous, and I want to bring the guys in. First, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Kyle, how are you, man?
Doing good, David. Had a lot of fun last night with the Pirate Football Nostalgia Podcast party. Good to hang out with you and Bubba and talk to the former players and coaches. And thanks, everybody, for coming out. We had a blast.
And Bubba, how you doing, man? Have you recuperated? You had a huge drive. I know you didn't get into like 3 o'clock in the morning. So how are you doing?
Doing well. I'm definitely feeling it right now. But that's when on the way home I was listening to the podcast, and I just think things went so well. It was an awful lot of fun catching up with everyone, like Kyle said, and so many great stories, so many great memories, reliving the 91 and 83 seasons through the guys or through the eyes of the guys who made the moments happen. So I'm just so much fun, and I'm looking forward to the after party now.
Absolutely. You know, we had no idea. I want to thank let's do some thank yous, by the way, before we forget. I want to, first of all, thank Linus Martinez and Steve, the guys at Professor Cool's. And the waitresses were tremendous. We had great service. Great servers and great service, don't you think, guys?
Yeah, everybody at O'Cool's was great. They treated us great, and they seemed really, really appreciative towards us, actually. So that was great. Linus and Steve were super nice. The girls, the waitresses, were super nice, did a great job. So, big thank you to Professor O'Cool's. Go get you some wings, a burger, a beer, whatever you need. Professor O'Cool's will hook you up.
And yeah, we're talking about maybe Bubba can come down. We can actually go to a away game. Whenever it's a away game, we can go to Professor O'Cool's. I know that'd be a long drive for you, Bubba, but maybe we can do that one game.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. And like Kyle said, the people at Professor O'Cool's were great. The venue was perfect for the event that we were hosting, and they were very complimentary of us, and they said they hoped to have us back, and we certainly feel the same.
Well, I'm glad. I never heard them say that, so I'm glad they want us back. I'm really happy about that, and I'm joking, of course. But, you know, guys, the party goes on. We've got the after party, and Bubba, why don't you tell folks what exactly are we going to be doing?
Okay, so obviously last night we focused, we had the technical issues at the beginning, and especially given that, we focused on the in-person guests and then had a few over the phone as well. But what we're going to be doing starting tomorrow, that's what we're going to be releasing 2, 3, maybe 4 interviews at a time, and we have 30-plus interviews, so there's going to be a number of podcasts headed your way, talking to a variety of players from a variety of eras, the likes of Jeff Carr, Mark Libiano, Mitchell Galloway, Larry Shannon, you name it, and they're going to be headed your way over these next couple weeks, so you're not going to want to miss out. It's going to be an awful lot of great memories to relive, that's for sure.
It's going to be huge, and Kyle, I know that we've got, it's just amazing. We even have everybody but pretty much the voice, Jeff Charles, he's vacationing right now, but we even have the IMG team of David Horn, Marty Fuhrer, and Kevin Monroe, which is an outstanding player and does an outstanding job as the color analyst. So we've got even the radio broadcast team covered too.
Yeah, everybody that you didn't hear from last night in the history of Pirate football, almost, will be a part of the after party coming up here in the next couple of weeks. A lot of great pre-recorded interviews, some big names, guys like Shane Card and Pernell Griffin. It's going to be a lot of fun, some interviews that a lot of people will enjoy hearing on the after party podcast that are coming up.
And if there's a player listening right now and you didn't, and we didn't get up with you, then we'd love to, reach out to us. You can email me, David Richmond@thesportsobjective.com, David Richmond@thesportsobjective.com, or reach out to us on the Facebook page or Twitter as well, @thesportsobj. You can do that as well, and we would love to have you. I tell you what, a lot of great memories, and we can talk hours about that. But moving right along, gentlemen, while we're talking now on Sunday night, we have breaking news, right?
Absolutely. Bob, you want to take that?
Sure. That's what, obviously, back about 3.5 months ago, Joe Dooley returned as ECU head basketball coach, and I was very excited about that for a number of reasons, and one of the reasons was I felt like he was going to be able to assemble an excellent staff, and he's certainly done just that. Of course, we've already known that Rafael Chilius, who was associate head coach on Kevin Ollie's staff last year at UConn and also had experience at University of Washington and Villanova, and obviously we know what Villanova has done under Jay Wright. So a guy with tremendous experience in Rafael Chilius, and then he made the decision to retain Ken Potasnik and Kyle Robinson, our director of basketball ops. And so so now we've hired another assistant coach, and this time it's another associate head coach. He was associate head coach at Virginia Tech last year under Buzz Williams, and we've managed to bring him to Greenville now, Steve Roccaforte. So that's extremely exciting, and you'd like to know the background there, because being able to hire someone of his caliber, you wonder if maybe he and Buzz Williams had a falling out or exactly what the case may be.
Yeah, you hate to speculate, but when you have somebody who is an associate head coach at an ACC school leaving for East Carolina, it's kind of surprising. I mean, what we have, guys, when you look, you know what we have? We have an American Athletic Conference basketball staff. We
right.
have a staff that's on par with, you know, most of this conference. So when you have a staff like that, you're going to be able to recruit and get players that are on par with most of this conference. So the future is bright for East Carolina basketball. This latest hire is a bit of a shocker, and Pirate fans should be excited about it. And I'm like Bubba, you'd love to know the background story on what motivated him to leave Virginia Tech for East Carolina.
Well, I'm going to take a different approach on this, because everybody's wondering, you know, like the sky is falling. I tell you what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is. That speaks volumes to two things. It speaks volumes, first of all, to the man who hired him, and that is Joe Dooley. The man wants to come to work for him, and it says the reputation that Joe Dooley has and the commitment he's going to make to East Carolina basketball. The second thing is, if this is 20 years ago and we're still in the Colonial, I would fall for that if I say, absolutely, something went wrong, right? But we're in the American now, and this is what Ruffin McNeil was talking about. Put on your big boy pants. Well, you got to put your big boy pants on to play in the American. And I feel like that under previous administrations, especially the last basketball coach, that we were still stuck in Conference USA, you know, not up to the American Basketball League. And so now that you have the American Athletic Conference, I think right now you're looking at guys, that we've got a legitimate thing. And the other thing I wanted to say about the American, we've said this about, it sounds like we're American homers, and so be it, but I think the American is truly a power league. I think it's a power six league. It should be that. Whether it is or not is debatable, but I really believe it is. And this is another example of Joe Dooley. He's got pride. I told him, it feels like in the interview when I talked to him, I felt like that he went to East Carolina because he gets the culture here at East Carolina. He loves Greenville. He wants to be here in Greenville. And by putting this staff together, gentlemen, not maybe in the first year, but when you have just Rafael Chilius, I mean, I was like, that is a huge get. But look at all the other guys. And now the latest, that's big-time basketball. I'm not overhyping it. I'm really – actually, the whole situation with Joe Dooley, I've been in shock that we were able to get him back in Greenville. And just in the time, April 4th, it was 10 days before my 45th birthday is when he was hired back, and everybody was panicking, oh, my God, we don't have anybody. And I was like, we need to make sure we make the right hire. And, guys, this is big time. This is really big time, and – we could spend a whole podcast just on talking about it, but I really feel strongly that Dave Hart. Thank God for Dave Hart, right?
Absolutely. And a little bit more on Steve Rocaforte. People don't know his background. He was former head coach at Lamar and was actually Southland Coach of the Year back in 2008. Had a 76-78 record while he was head coach at Lamar, and then was an assistant at South Florida for a while before going to Virginia Tech. He's a real deal basketball coach. So, like I say, it's a huge hire for Joe Dooley. And yes, thank God for Dave Hart. And hopefully Dave will stay on and be our permanent athletic director.
Well, I'll tell you this. I won't tell you which. I'm going to say this, and so I'll protect. I have this is not me making this stuff up, like some people on the message boards think. But I actually talked to a coach, and I'm not going to say which one, a basketball coach locally, and he told you guys on purpose because I knew this would happen. He told me recently, about a week ago, we talked, and I've come to know him a little bit, and he told me that his kids are burnt out on East Carolina. It's a local school, and he said, David, my kids are burnt out because they got passed up by the previous coaches. They didn't even give them the time of day. And so I will say that that particular school, Joe Dooley and the staff, are going to have to work really, really hard, and it's going to take some time to mend fences. And that's the problem we had, is that we were going to Hawaii to get a player and all these, and we had guys that you could almost walk to the school from on the other side of town that are big-time recruits, and it may be difficult to get them, but my God, you got to make every play in the book to get them, right?
Absolutely, but whoever that head coach is you're speaking of, he shouldn't be burnt out on East Carolina. If he wants to be burnt out on something, he should have been burnt out on the previous
staff. No, he's not talking about it. He loves East Carolina. It's not the coach. He's talking about the players that, because they didn't do a good job, and the previous coach didn't do a good job, and the staff of recruiting,
right.
He's not upset with Joe Dooley or East Carolina. He was just talking about the kids didn't get their fair shake with the previous coaches. So,
well, I think they will now. I think Coach Dooley is smart, and you recruit from in to out. You start at home and then you go out. You don't go the other way around. You don't go to Hawaii or Texas or California and then come back east and look for your players. You always check around home first. And then if you can't find what you need, you go further away. I mean, that's just common sense. And why we weren't doing that, I have no idea.
Right. And so I'm not trying to start anything, of course, but I just want to say that to have these coaches that Joe Dooley's put together that are tremendous recruiters, they know the game, they're going to do an excellent job teaching the game at the college level, they're well-respected. I think Coach Dooley, you give Coach Dooley 2 or 3 years and maybe even sooner, but I'm telling you guys, we're going to be good in basketball. We're going to be competitive, and that's something you have to even the 2013 and 14 years were good years, but I don't think we've seen anything like this maybe ever. I really believe until I see anything different, I'm going to give Dooley the benefit of the doubt based on what he's already done so far. Just in a short period of time, he's done a lot of smart hires, and I think you're going to see some players. Wasn't there something I read on Hoist the Colors, our good friend Stephen Igo's site, about there might be a player coming our way from Virginia Tech? So I was interested, or was it just the coach?
I have not seen that, Dave. I was going to say, I have not seen anything like that, but I had seen this as far as the coach. Saw it a few days ago and confirmed that it was indeed Rocaforte. But yeah, a little something going back to just general thoughts about Joe Dooley. That's what a lot of people were thinking. Well, this is just all East Carolina had some success under him from 95 to 99, so that's why they want to bring him back. And sure, that was part of it, but make no mistake about it, this isn't just about a homecoming. This is a proven basketball coach.
Right.
You scrapped 95 through 99 at East Carolina, and that head coaching experience from his resume, he still has a heck of a resume between his time at New Mexico, Wyoming, all those years, a decade plus at Kansas with Bill Self, and then what he did at Florida Gulf Coast. this is a hire that I'd be extremely excited about, given that part of his resume. And something else, Dave, that I've really seen over these last few months is the improved and significantly improved social media presence that our basketball program has. And some people may not think that's a big thing, but when you're putting out videos of your players talking about themselves and different facts about Joe Dooley and his staff, that makes a huge difference.
And I want to pull out too that let's give a shout out to the athletics department. I really love the series they do in the summer on the Pirate Memories. The latest is on the best play-by-play voice in the country, in my opinion, Jeff Charles, talking about his favorite Pirate memories and dealing with the 91 season. If you haven't seen that, then I probably spoiled it for you, but no surprise there. I mean, that was huge. But love Jeff. He's a great person. He's tremendous as a person, and I'll put him up against that. But I want to give a shout-out. I love that series. They've been doing this every Sunday they're putting out, right?
It's a great idea from the marketing department at East Carolina, the athletic marketing. Great, and it's, like Bubba said, it's a good presence on social media to get the fans involved by doing that. And this week it was Jeff Charles, and like you said, he chose the 91 Peach Bowl year and the Pitt game and the Virginia Tech game as his favorite memories. East Carolina Pirate Athletics, and I'm enjoying it. Looking forward to it every Sunday. Be anxious to see who they have next week.
It's actually, I'm gonna spoil it for you. It's actually Kyle from LaGrange. They're going to do a fan next week. So
that'll be easy. It's going to be when Jeff Confer was fired.
Oh, wow. Okay. Moving right along.
I'll say one more thing, Dave, before we move on from basketball, is I saw in the last few days on Hoist the Colors, Stephen Igo had posted a quote from Sean Williams, and just paraphrasing, but it basically related to accountability and just how much the winning ways of doing things from A to Z, I mean, whether it's off the court or on the court, and the voluntary workouts and all those sorts of things during the summer. And so just the overall approach to things have just improved so much since Joe Dooley and staff have taken over.
Yeah, Joe Dooley's the real deal.
Yeah, I was just going to say that get your season tickets. That's one of the things. I'm going on a cruise in August. When I get back, I am going to get season tickets. I want you guys to come with me to some games. We need to support this coach and the coaching staff. He says, hey, I got to put a winning product on the field. I mean, and the next guest we're going to talk to is talking about that, but the winning product on the court with Joe Dooley. And let's rally behind this guy. He didn't have to come back to East Carolina. He did. And he's going to put a tremendous product on the court. In fact, call 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Again, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. I'm going to be talking about that a lot over the next few months, certainly with basketball and football, but this particular we're talking about basketball. Guys, had a chance to talk to the head football coach of East Carolina, huge interview with Scotty Montgomery, and we'll talk about on the other side why it's huge. Here on the Sports Objective Podcast, and we have a very special guest with us now, the head football coach at East Carolina University, Coach Scotty Montgomery. Coach, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Anytime it's connected to not only our former players, but just the great university that we have here at ECU, I'm definitely all on board.
Wanted to say right out of the gate, Coach, I want to compliment you and your staff. I understand you've been hitting the recruiting trail really hard, a top 50 recruiting class, and I'm hearing either number one or number two in the American Athletic Conference. I know you've been working hard. I know you have to be proud for next year's recruiting class.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It had just been a collective effort of the players and our coaches, but even our families are involved in recruiting and putting together a great recruiting class. But this recruiting class is the benefit of two long, hard years of recruiting this class. You know, it usually starts now in their sophomore. You start to really build a relationship with them in their sophomore. We got freshmen on campus at an early age. So now those relationships that we've built over the last few years, especially in the state, are really, really starting to pay some huge dividends, and those will definitely play dividends here in the fall, but also, you know, in the time to come.
I wanted to ask you that very question. You seem to really enjoy the recruiting. How much time do you spend on the recruiting trail? It seems like that you really relish it.
Yeah, you know, I don't get to go out of the building as much, which probably makes me just work a lot harder while I'm here. I'm on the phone, whether it's texting or on the phone, or when I do get a chance to go out, whether it be camps that are away from here. But spring is kind of tough because we're not able to go out. But we spend a lot of time of being creative through social media and mail outs and different things so that they're constantly around me. And you know, when you are here, the best thing that you have going is FaceTime. We use a lot of FaceTime with our players and our recruits just to kind of bring them a little bit closer to us versus just being on a normal cell phone or a text messaging situation with our student athletes.
I wanted to ask you about one of the things that comes to mind. I know you're big on, and I know Coach Dooley as well, in the Pirate Armada sessions as you go around the state, the campaign, if you will, and that is about the training table. Can you talk about the training table?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. I'll say this, that our kids coming into this season, we will definitely be at a much different, higher level nutrition-wise, whether it's some of the things that we've added into our building. We've added the CJ2K juice bar, which we're really, really, really happy about. That'll give us the ability to have shakes and yogurt and whether it be fruit, whether it be protein bars, whether it be, you know, any kind of nutritional supplementation throughout the day, 24 hours a day, that'll be available for our guys. And then now we'll also be put our guys in a position to where we will have a daily meal that will take place in the evening. So our coaches, players, not only do they get the nutritional value out of it, but they also get to team build. That's something that we've kind of not had the ability to do in that setting and being able to set in that setting, which is very, very important. And the tradition of families before is something that I think we've missed on a lot as families, is having dinner together and sitting down and listening to the conversation that happens at dinner tables. Well, we'll be able to do that again this year, so we're very, very happy about that.
Also, I wanted to mention while we're on the topic of needs, I think it's a need, something that's, if I were athletic director, I would definitely put it number one, is, or head coach, is an indoor practice facility for the football team and the other teams. Do you think that's something we need right now?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. It's something that I've talked about since I've gotten here. Sometimes it can sound like excuses, but it's really not excuses. Over the last 2 years, we've missed about 7 to 8 Tuesday or Wednesday practices during the year, which, you know, make it very, very tough to have a collective week of practice where you are working on the exact thing that you want to be working on outside. It forces you to go into Menji's at times, and it's football. You know, it's not meant to be on a hardwood floor. So, but the other part of it is exactly what you said. It'll also impact all of our sports. We're only in there as a football team under 2 hours a day, 4 days a week. So that other time goes directly to our other sports. And there's a lot of people that could use it because of missing practices. It's not about rain. I like practicing in rain. I don't mind practicing in the snow. Just unfortunately, you know, things could happen to impact our community and our team and our families negatively if we play outside in a lightning storm. So we do have to come in during lightning, and that's what we see. The majority of the cancellations are directly connected to, you know, just severe weather. But I do think that it is impactful, and not only in the development of players, but also in the recruiting process. We've seen a boost in our recruiting already just because of the money that we've spent in our training room, in our equipment room, and then more so just what we've done in our locker room and really elevating that to where we need to be to catch up to our peers in an American.
I want to ask you, Coach, I'm very excited. I know that I share the same thing with a lot of Pirate fans, and that is with regards to the new O-line coach with Don Mahoney and obviously the defensive coordinator David Blackwell. Can you talk to us about what does it mean to have those guys? What do they bring to the table, so to speak?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that, you know, I've heard since I was 4 or 5 years old from my father and from all the mentors in my life is that, you know, you can be outstanding by yourself, but it won't get you very far. The way that you can really elevate who you are as a person and who you are as a coach is to elevate the people that you have around you. And I think that's what we've done. I think we've grown tremendously by hiring defensive coordinator David Blackwell, tremendous amount of knowledge, but also a very similar mindset of what we need to be able to get accomplished. We needed to have someone that could look at our needs and some of our size and speed issues, increase both of those, and then get more out of our players. And I think that we've done a great job of bringing in David and adding a couple of pieces on defense of that will give him the ability to go out and be very successful in his first year as defensive coordinator here. And then on the offensive line side of the ball, I think it's, I've been very frustrated with our inability to run the football. And everywhere that I've been successful at, we've done a good job of running the football. And I think that those have directly, you know, impacted not only our ability to score the football in the red zone, but also to keep our defense off the field in some critical situations that we just haven't been able to do it. So Don and his scheme and his mindset, and I just like the way he motivates the players. I mean, all of them got a big boost of energy just from the level of motivation that he gives them on a daily basis. And they definitely feel like he's 100% on board with them, and he struggles when they struggle, and he you know, is overjoyed when they have joy. So it's just a great situation there. And then last but not least, I got to talk about the impact that Kirk Dahl has had on us just this, you know, spring in special teams. We've really firmed up a lot of the places that we had issues last year, and we had to do that. And that process was a recruiting process as well. We had to recruit those three coaches to be here, and they had to believe not only in our program but in me and in the rest of the staff and these kids. So, you know, it's one of those situations to where we got a really, really good fit. They could have won a lot of other places, but they, you know, two out of the three are former Pirates. So we've added some definite Pirate blood to the mix, and hopefully they can also help our young guys understand the privilege that goes into, you know, playing football here in Greenville.
I know, Coach, one of the things that comes to mind is, I call it the Holt Naylor's rule, but I love the new rule this year where you don't necessarily have to burn the red shirt and where you can actually play them in four games. I know that I'm very excited. I will say this. I'm very excited. I'm not saying it because I'm interviewing you. I'm very excited with the talent level we have at the quarterback position. I feel like that it's been a few years where we've been struggling a little bit at that position, and I know you know that position very well, being a former wide receiver and coaching that position. How do you feel about the kids that are in the quarterback room?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why we have struggled there is just because of the gap in recruiting. We had a large gap in recruiting over a few years and we just didn't, you know, we didn't play at that level, at the quarterback level, the way that I thought. Now, last year I thought we could have played with Reed Herring. I just didn't think that, you know, physically he was ready to go, so we put him on the shelf. And physically, boy, he's really, really grown. He's gained about 30 pounds since he's been here. He's throwing the ball at a high level. So we're really, really excited about the quarterback position. This is as talented of his room as I've been in or coached or been around in college ball. So we're really, really excited about it. And that's the first time I've heard it called the Holt Naylor's rule. It's pretty damn good rule, though, giving kids the opportunity and teams the opportunity to not burn someone's a whole year because he has to go in and out of the protection or necessity of the team needs. And that's, you know, you don't ever want a kid to have to choose between the team and his career. And I think the NCAA and everyone in connection of getting this, you know, rule passed and not tabled for another year, great job all around, great job. So we're looking forward to it, but we're really excited about our quarterback room. And it makes you excited when you got a 1,000-yard receiver coming back. You got Anthony Scott being added back to the backfield with Hassan Howell back. And it's just it's amazing. As I look at the team, we are getting to start to mature. And the best thing about this team is that we did play young people. If you look at us next year, just fast forward a year, we'll be returning 10 out of 12 starters on offense and 10 out of 12 starters at least on defense, as the way it looks right now. So it's one of those situations that where we've really done a good job in recruiting. And every year at the quarterback position, we've either gotten a really, really good quarterback. And then the last 2 years, years, you know, starting with Reed at first, he was already on board when we came in. That class was basically put together. We were able to keep him in the fold, so that was great. But then the following 2 years, we went out and got the best quarterback in the state 2 years in a row. So anytime you do that, your quarterback play is going to definitely increase.
One of the things I've been telling folks that I've been talking to, certainly in, on the podcast, I've been talking about the fact that I know a lot of people say if you play two quarterbacks, it's like if you don't have one, you've got a potential. You could play three quarterbacks with the talent level you have this year.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm a little bit more mature in that part of understanding that. You know, man, it's about winning games. It, you know, it's not about just fielding one quarterback. You know, if we got to play three of them, we'll play three of them. Our starting quarterback is Reed Herring. You know, as we speak, but we're really talented. Like we have gotten to the level of having talent at that position. It's different this spring than it was last spring where you pull out hair. I didn't pull out very much hair because of the decision-making of all of our quarterbacks. I thought that, you know, you look at a 17, 18-year-old kid come into your program and not make, you know, 5% or 10% of the mental errors that a guy his age is accustomed to making, that's important. Now, that means that the guy ahead of him is teaching well, but also that means that there's not that big of a gap between the two. So we're really excited about that room and that position.
A couple more questions for you. I know that we're running a little bit long. I wanted to ask you about certainly with this season. I know there's been two difficult seasons. You are on the inside. We are not on the outside. How do you feel going into the 2018 season?
As strong as we've ever felt. I've said what I said at the end of last year about playing in a bowl game because I knew what we were returning. I knew the strength of our team. I also knew that we were adding some great pieces to the puzzle in recruiting, and we do a good job of researching what's happening in our conference. If you look at our conference over the last, you know, three to four years, and, you know, just add in how people have came in to the conference, and you watch, you know, the progression of what Temple was able to do, the progression of what South Florida was able to do, just the progression of teams growing, we would see that there's been it was always a tremendous amount of growth in teams' third year. And not only was it that it was growth in that third year, but there was also some changes around the league that happened also that let others elevate. So we're right. We feel like we're right where we need to be at this point in time of preparation and withstanding everything that we had to go through the past. It was very helpful. Not only for me, it made us all tougher, but what it also did is it gave us the ability to go and recruit to our needs. And we've been able to do that. Also getting some big time talent in the coaching ranks. You know, my biggest concern right now is keeping this program and keeping this team and this staff together after a great year this year, because I really feel like we're going to have a great one.
Well, what you're saying is what I need to do is save up my vacation time for December when we get bowling.
Well, absolutely. We're looking forward to playing in postseason football. You know, that's the challenge that I've given us. But you know what? We needed some challenges to go after and work after, because this is a group that has been recruited at a high level. They're going to be coached at a high level. And now it's the opportunity for us to go win at a high level. All the boxes that we talked about checking when we came in here, we've done it. We said that we were going to grow them academically. Check. We've done that. We said that we were going to grow them socially away from the field. Check. You know, we've done that. We said we were going to recruit the state harder than any other time before here. Check. We've done that, and we're continuing to do that. We're not going to stop doing that. Now the final check that we've got to do is you've got to go out and put a product on the field that's a winning product. So we really want to see these kids win.
I'm looking forward to that, and I want to ask you finally, we're doing a nostalgia party for former football players. I know you had the opportunity to play at Dowdy Ficklin as a player. I want to get your memory and thoughts on that, and also – what is your favorite memory of being a coach at East Carolina?
Yeah, so right now, like just the memory of coming into Dowdy Ficklin, I just remember the intensity of the fan base as we came in, because, you know, there were things that probably had been said before coming in. It was always one of those situations to where you come down here and things may or may not been said about who was going to win and who's not going to win. Well, immediately we felt the pressure and the stress that comes with coming into Dowdy Ficklin, and that was such a big deal. And we've got to help our fans feel that way again in so that the pressure is on the opposing team the same way when they come in. And I just remember, you know, catching a first down pass on the sideline and having to run out of bounds. And as I ran out of bounds, I think that I was kind of running through our side. And the fans, after a first down, they were booing me to the highest level that I have ever been booed. And I was just like, okay, it's going to be a battle between everybody on the field and then everybody in the stadium, you know. And it was just a great feeling to be able to play. It was a much different feeling than even playing in the ACC stadiums that we played in. It was just a much more, you know, just a much better atmosphere. Yeah. And then my favorite point as a coach, you know, it's probably two that I really, you know, feel great about. The NC State victory at the end of the game was just filled with energy and emotion and intensity by not only myself, but our players, the fans. We had accomplished something that we wanted to get accomplished, so that the intensity and the energy at the end of that game was just fantastic. And then, you know, we played last year, we played a Tulane game that we lost with 1 yard. By one, you know, we had 1 yard, fourth and one on the goal line, and we didn't score. And, you know, it was a really, really tough loss. And our kids came back the next week against Cincinnati and just played lights out. And, you know, a lot of the guys that talked about we had made the transition of not being, you know, not giving in, and we were going to win, and this was a process of what was going to happen. And it was a lot of our younger guys, and it was before the game, before the Cincinnati game. And they came out and they played just to a level that we didn't have any mental errors. We took care of the ball for the most part. We did what we were supposed to do. So the Cincinnati game last year, and then definitely the NC State game the first year.
Thank you so much, Coach. Good luck to you this season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Take care, brother.
Well, guys, that was a tremendous interview with Coach Scotty Montgomery. What a great guy, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I thought he was really relaxed with me. What did you guys think?
Yeah, he came across as very personable and relaxed, and seems to have a lot more confidence going into this season than he had the last. Certainly seems very comfortable this year. So hopefully that'll equal to more wins and just, you know, better overall team chemistry and better results on the field. And it sounds like it's going in the right direction.
And did you guys pick up, by the way, I wanted to ask both of you, there was actually there was a couple breaking news points, but one that I wanted to talk about tonight in particular. Did you pick up on, either one of you pick up on when I was talking to him? He slipped in something that nobody else that I know of outside of you guys know about it. Did you pick up on it?
The CJ 2K Juice Bar.
Yes, sir.
That's a big deal. Talking about the training table, which is something we should have had for years in East Carolina, and I think it started to be addressed. The CJ 2K Juice Bar, thanks to Chris Johnson for getting that done and giving some money to make sure the players have the proper nutrition. I'm sure Jeff Connors appreciates that. What do you think about that, Bubba?
Always great to see your former players giving back. That's what it had been rumored for a while, I think, on social media here within the last month or so. It became known that CJ was trying to make a donation and have his name on something, and whether that was going to be the juice bar, as it turned out, or what, wasn't clear, but just so thankful that Chris Johnson made the decision to give back to ECU.
CJ2K, and he came up big, many, I don't know the exact amount, obviously, but that's huge. And there's another thing that we'll talk about, another thing I picked up on, but we'll talk about that at a later date for sure, because we don't have a lot of time with, we're doing hour-long after parties, and the next guest, Bubba, I tell you what, I was real impressed talking to him, and he actually, his story now, which we'll hear at the very end, we'll talk about it on their side, but it could actually help East Carolina. He's a former East Carolina. He's had many years of coaching, but he was in the Ed Emery and Art Baker era of coaching, if you will, in that era, and back in the 1980s. And, Bub, I know you got to know him a little bit too. Ken Matosh, what a great guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Coach Matosh's interview is excellent. I know Pirate Nation's really going to enjoy hearing from him. Like you said, he coached wide receivers, among other things, under Ed Emery and Art Baker from 83 to 88, if I'm not mistaken. So just a tremendous guy from what you could tell, and just interacting with him over the phone. And he really loved his time in Greenville. And I know he coached Scotty Montgomery at Duke. And I think he was at Duke from 93 to 99, 94 to 99, somewhere in there. So he was, I guess, maybe that was Fred Goldsmith's staff and then Carl Frank's staff.
In fact, get some popcorn and get you a good soft drink or a beverage of your choice and listen to this interview with Ken Matosh, former assistant coach at East Carolina, right now. Having fun here tonight at the Pirate Football Nostalgia Party, and with us right now is a coach under Big Ed Emery and Art Baker, and that's Ken Matosh. Ken, thank you so much, Coach. Appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks, David and Bubba. And it's a great honor to talk about a great time in my life and everything, and be able to work with a lot of good football coaches at East Carolina, and even to top that, a bunch of great football players.
Want to ask you about your time. I know we unfortunately lost Ed Emery a few years back. I wanted to ask you about your time with him, Coach Emery. We obviously would love to have had him on the show, but having the assistants in this particular case, I know you coached under him and Coach Baker. What was it like to have your time with Coach Ed Emery?
First of all, Coach Emery probably looking around the country and seeing different programs over the years prior to 83 and after that, might have assembled one of the best football teams I've ever witnessed. I mean, just pure talent and abilities, and just amazed me still to this day how good they were. And then Mike Gentry taking what Ed had assembled as recruiting and making those kids stronger. It just still amazes me what they accomplished, and I was fortunate to come in there in 83 and be a part of that, and should have probably won a national championship. That's how good that team was. But Ed was a tremendous recruiter. He worked at 24 hours. He would leave out on Monday, which a lot of people didn't know, but during the season while we were prepping for the football team and getting ready for him, and he would go all day and try to hit 8 to 10 high schools of potential prospects or future prospects, younger kids coming up, and because he felt that was more effective. And the other thing that I got from Ed that was so outstanding was, and I'll say Ed, I mean Coach Emery, was the fact that he put more time into personnel, not just in the recruiting phase of it, but in our meetings. And he would challenge the coaches to what they were doing and how they were coaching their kids and what they were getting out of them and where's the best spot for that kid and to help this football team. And he did more of that probably than any coach I coached with my whole career.
It's amazing when you think about Pirate football with the number of seasons we've had, and it's with the coaches and players. We've had so many great coaches, so many great players, and that's what makes this night special. With Coach Emery, I know that with that 83 season, you guys had three losses, but man, those three losses were, when you say quality opponents, brand name college football teams, right?
They really were. Miami, and then Florida and Florida State, and they were all close games. And, you know, as 12 points, I think, was the difference in them. And one was a jump ball that we dropped that Miami acted like they broke it up, but it was Norwood Van and Stephon Adams fighting over the ball, and we dropped it. Otherwise, we win the game, and, you know, Miami's history would have been a little different at that point. Probably wouldn't have beat Nebraska in the Orange Bowl.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah. So,
you had
great times and great people and kids that played hard and had great effort. And, you know, again, that goes back to Coach Emery's, the way he motivated those young men and how he pushed them when it was hot as heck. And, you know, we did things back then you can't do now, and that was we had 4 days during our shorts period, the 3 days of shorts that we had. We would go out early and do run game, and then we'd give them a break and eat breakfast, and we'd come back out for, I believe, a special teams period about 11 o'clock, and then we'd give them another little break and come back for a late afternoon practice that was more pass-oriented, and then come back and under the nights, and it was total pass-oriented over at the baseball field. And so I was wore out after those 3-4 days of doing that. I know the players were.
Speaking of the weight room, we talked to Curtis Strzok, and he told us on the 83 team, I know he came on, I think, eventually 84, but he told us about the, wasn't the weight room, and I've heard that before, in an old tobacco warehouse?
It was. It was, I think it was kind of an old tobacco warehouse slash roller rink or something. And I think Lou Hallow gave that to the program or let us use it. Mike Gentry turned it into the Power Palace, I think he used to call it. And it was not in great shape, but man alive, those are the strongest guys I think I've ever been around as a group. You know, obviously, teams have strong people, but when you saw Terry Long down to, we had a receiver, old Henry Williams, that would he would work out and squat with the old lineman. You know, that's how much weight he was doing, and it just amazed me. And people that would come in and look at it. I remember Mike telling me one time a Michigan State guy came to his strength coach, and he questioned how strong the kids were, and it just man alive, I didn't how what a crazy thing people, you know, that our outsiders look at and say there's no way they're that strong, and they were. I mean, I watched them all the time, and it's just incredible what Mike did and through Coach Emery's leadership.
I know that you had time with Ed, and then you were fortunate enough to, I guess, be retained by Art Baker. What were some differences there between the coaches?
Well, Art was more into wanting to be a part, because he had just come from being an offensive coordinator at obviously East Carolina and then Florida State, and he was wanting to be more involved in the offense and doing those things and there. And he liked recruiting, but recruiting was Ed's passion. That's all he thought about. And he'd come back from summer vacation with about a phone book full of notes, and 90% of it was on recruiting, how to make us better in recruiting. So he was talking about computers and doing that stuff back in 83, the summer of 83. And heck, I wasn't real sure what I knew NASA used a computer, but I didn't know football teams were using it. The difference is those, and you know, Art was fiery in his own right. Ed was equally just as fiery in the way they approached things. They both had great passion for the game, just in a little bit different aspects of it. And both great people. I enjoyed working for both of them and had the, you know, great privilege in my coaching career to work for guys like that and how special they are. And like I said, the thing you find out over the course of time is how different each coach is and where their strengths are, and the great coaches are able to hire those assistants under them or around to keep them around that complement and take care of their weaknesses or complement their strength or just make them the whole staff an all well-rounded group.
I tell you what, the reason why I'm a Pirate fan today, Ken, is because of you guys. I was a 13-year-old kid that came to FCA Day in 1986, and Coach Baker had us on the field, and he talked about the – I remember a great story told about – and I'm not 13 anymore, obviously. he told a great story about Stump Mitchell and gave a testimony about Stump Mitchell and about how he hadn't had a 1,000-yard season until he gave his life to Christ. It was just an amazing story, and I can remember that. And that's been 32 years ago. So because of Art Baker going to that game in October of 86, so the FCA game, I'll never forget it. And I became a Pirate fan that day, and here we are 32 years later.
Well, Art was a strong Christian and had strong beliefs. I believe Christ wanted Stump to have 1,000 yards, but Stump had to have the ability to, to get that 1,000. But believe it may have given him the confidence to attack it, just like so many things in life. You believe in the right things and hold true to them, then good things will happen. And that's what I've seen the Pirates since I left there. And great place. I mean, first of all, Greenville, North East Carolina, it was a tremendous place. And our daughter was born down there, and she'll turn 32 here first September. She was born right before an NC State game, and that was awesome. So it was kind of neat, and just to see that area grow. I was fortunate to come back into the Carolinas at Duke for 5 years, and then Western Carolina for a year. And it just North Carolina is a great place, a special place for our family, and it all started with the Pirates getting over there, and with Ed and then Art, and just like I said, tremendous players, just people that were just outstanding, and I still think about a lot of them.
I know that I think about that time under Pat Dye. I mean, I know Sonny Randall, Pat Dye at Emory, and you could even Art. Wanted to ask you about some of the players under Art Baker that recruited, and I know Bill Willis gets a lot of credit, but it really started under Art Baker, right? A lot of players, didn't you recruit, or Jeff Blake, or have a part in that?
Yeah, I was recruiting the Orlando area, and I kept asking people. Back then, you didn't have all these services like they have now. I kept asking people, I said, where's the best quarterback? Where's the best quarterback? And after about the third stop, I got my butt up to Sanford Seminole High School or Seminole High School in Sanford, Florida, and Jeff's daddy was the head coach there, and I started recruiting Jeff, and man alive, what a quality person. I think Ernie Ernie Lewis was an outside linebacker. We signed both those kids out of there that year, and went on to be great players, but that whole class was tremendous. You know, and they ended up, 90-91, having an unbelievable season. And just great kids. A lot of them went on and played. Robert Jones played with the Cowboys. And Vincent Smith was actually recruited on our 83, or came in on 83 ball club. And, you know, just great people. And but that class that Bill was able to take and put together, I mean, compliment, coach them up, did a great job and came together. But Art really worked hard on recruiting those last few years as far as the type of kids we wanted in the program, quality personnel, and just they all blended together, came together. I just sad that I wasn't there to see them, because I sure enjoyed them.
They were tremendous for sure. And the We Believe 1991, incredible, magical year. Probably the pinnacle of the East Carolina program, 11-1, finishing ninth in the country that year with the likes of Jeff Blake and Luke Fisher, and I could name off. I'm not going to do that right now. I want to focus on you. So I know people, was kind of like a reunion. What are you up to these days? I know you did a big stint of coaching in arena football, and what are you doing now?
Well, I coached arena football for a bunch of years and had a blast doing it. And when you start talking about it, when you coach 35, 38-year-old guys, our quarterback at Orlando the last year was 43, it's a whole different game than it was when you were coaching down in East Carolina in 2-a-days. But a lot of fun, enjoyed it. I got out of coaching a few years back, and I'm actually selling turf. I work with a company out of Kansas City. I was with one out of Colorado that we did more natural turf. I traveled all over the country, and then a lot of Major League Baseball and football and stuff. And then the one I'm with now is more in construction phase. That we work at with AstroTurf, and it's been a very, very good company, and enjoyed it. And it's a whole different game. You've got game day every day because you're trying to recruit someone to buy your product or let you install it. So it's a different mindset. A lot of traveling and things, but still good. And got one granddaughter. My daughter's expecting a second one come Thanksgiving, so we're excited about that. But
I think you'll be thankful in a different way, right? For your family.
But yeah, I guess that as much as anything, what you're trying to do with this podcast too is just how good things happen. And you know Pat Dye kind of, and Sonny Randall started those things, and they kind of evolved. And you know what Ed did was kind of took kids that Pat had gotten, just kind of kept pushing them, getting better kids, and how he recruited and stuff. And then Art did a good job of science. We didn't see it on the wins and losses, but we saw it. We'd beaten NC State a couple times, and then getting a quality class in there that allowed Coach Lewis, who came in and did a great job. And I've known Steve Logan for a long time, and of course Steve Shankweiler might be the all-time longest tenured coach at different points of his career at East Carolina. Tremendous coach. And Steve, you know, Steve Logan took what Bill had developed and moved it on to the next level. And just, I mean, I just saw so many positive things happen there. I just kind of went downhill for a little while after Steve, and I just that was kind of tough to watch. And I was close at times because I was over at Duke and then out and about. But I've always kept up with East Carolina just because it is a special place and good time in my life.
Yes, sir. In fact, we're hoping that we've had a couple of down years, and we're hoping that Coach Montgomery can, speaking of Duke, you know him, Scotty Montgomery, we're hoping that
I actually helped recruit Scotty, but I coached him for 3 years, and he is a good person, and I'm pulling for him to do things. I know he's not on the track of what is acceptable or what you guys desire yet, but I hope he's able to get it done at this point. And then you hired back an old friend of mine, Kirk Gall, this last year, and Kirk and played for my dad at Hutch JUCO 100 years ago, and Kirk and I have been longtime friends, and he played at East Carolina a couple years for Sonny Randall. And, you know, I'm pulling for those two guys plus the rest of the staff and the players and the university to have a great year and get that thing moving in the right direction, because I think things are there. It's just the right things got to start happening, and they do. As I worked for Coach Brewer in Mississippi 1 year, and I was talking to him one time, he goes, that ball bounces your way, and you better enjoy it when it starts to bounce your way, because it's going to bounce the other way at some point in the season or the next season. So always kind of remember that.
Yeah, you know, I know that Coach Russell McNeil, the previous coach, used to always say about how hard it is to win, how hard it is to win. And when you get a win, you know, how to enjoy it. Paraphrasing what he was saying, I don't think people – I have coached not at your level for a few years, and I don't think people realize just how hard it is to win. And when you're a coach or a player, how much you relish and you enjoy getting a victory, because you know how easy it is to lose.
Yes, and you know, the thing people don't understand is all the variables that go into a football game. There's no sport like football. I mean, 11 guys got to do the right thing and at the right time, and that's got to happen about 100 plays a game. Everything. But I was fortunate to meet Ruffin when I was at a track meet over at Wilson 1 year, district track meet. That was some of the five of the fastest guys I've ever seen, Danny Peebles. I mean, there was five of them. They'd all played, all but one played college football, and they all went to three regional districts or whatever, and then the state, and someone won at different times. Timmy Worley was in there, Danny Peebles, McRae, Lee Vernon McRae was in there, and then another kid that went to Pitt, and I mean, it was unbelievable. And one kid went to UNC, just unbelievable speed. I met Ruffin there, we talked a long time, and I talked to him when I was coaching in arena football. I chased a few players down that he'd coached, and he was out of Texas Tech at the time. And good man, good man. And he obviously hired the right person in Lincoln Riley, because he's great.
He's up to big things, right?
He's a special person and a special coach right now. And I've just had OU yesterday. We're trying to get their – well, done. We did their indoor facility last year, and trying to get their – we're doing a track phase for them right now. We're trying to do their women's softball field. And so I was just – that's a great thing, and they're all pumped up about Lincoln, but pressure's on him to follow up from last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to tell you, by the way, speaking of indoor practice facility, I think the folks listening right now, including the administration that's at East Carolina right now, one of the biggest things that needs, I don't think it's a want, I think it was a want before, but to keep up with the American Conference and to be a big boy, so to speak, in college football, this is your area of expertise right now. We really need, and maybe we can call on you, stay in touch. We want a indoor. That's my number one. If there's a wish list, and I could be athletic director right now, that would be my number one, is to get an indoor practice facility. And I know I have a phone number now of a man that can make it happen, right?
I got I know the AstroTurf guy right there in he lives in Greensboro for that region, and I can get Anthony hooked up with you real quick. Anthony Mealy. But no, I think when you look at those things, facilities are something that weren't that big a deal back in the day, but they were, but they're vital now. You've got to have a great weight room. You've got to have a great academic study hall area. You've got to have a great stadium. You've got to have a great practice field. You've got to have the ability to have a practice field that has synthetic and natural grass because of what you're playing on that week. You've got to have the indoor. And the indoor benefits your baseball, which is great down there, your softball, any of your other sports that got to get in out of a rainy day and everything. And obviously it's going to benefit your football because you see so many people go from one practicing or running their weight room runs out on the field, or they'll go into the to their Duke has got an unbelievable setup. We had a terrible field for practice field. They put them side by side. They open the garage doors up. They go in and out of their indoor and their grass practice field out there in a normal practice and stuff. And to me, that was ingenious because they didn't have the room to have two quality practice fields. So, I mean, I think you have to nowadays. And the more I get around to them and everything, and they can be pretty simple, but they can be real elaborate too. But you just got to be able to compete with people in recruiting. And because first thing they're going to say, well, they don't have an indoor facility. What are they doing? It snows or rains or something. In the old days, Ed would have said, our butt's out there no matter what the weather's doing. And just a good funny story to go along with that is, we were trying to get that sports medicine building built, a new football facility there, the whole time when Ed was there. And I remember Bob talking to one of the assistant ADs, Bob Helmick at the time, and said, I don't care. He said, let's put a sign up and then dig a hole and put a pile of bricks there and say we're getting ready to build the building. He said, that way I can recruit. I just about died laughing with it. But it made complete sense. And, so they ought to put a sign up saying, well, this is where the indoor facility is going. And that way they can recruit the next generation of Pirates down there.
Sounds good. We have the love for you to see it. There's videos on YouTube. You can see it. The Southside Project. If you get a chance, check it out. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. And again, I'm telling you, for folks listening right now, I'm putting it out there. I'm going to put myself out on a limb. I love the indoor practice facility. It's what I want. And a lot of Pirate fans, let's join together and let's make that happen. We have that coming for the indoor practice. The Southside Project will be expansion of a new press box and club level. It's going to be fantastic on the south side there where the press box used to be.
I did see some pictures of them tearing it down.
Yeah.
Getting it down and everything, all that. But it was long overdue. The Pirates deserve better. The other side, I actually got to watch a game in there while I was at Duke. It was an open day, and we came down and sat on the other side, and I really liked it and got to see a lot of people, a lot of old fans and friends out there. That was kind of neat, and it was well thought out, and now they do a good job with this press box and lecture suites. It'll be awesome. It makes it an event like it is.
That's right. Well, Ken, thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate it's been great to meet you and talk to you, and I hope that we get to meet in person at some point. And good luck to selling more, indoor practice facilities or the AstroTurf.
Well, we sell AstroTurf, but we also do natural fields too. But we work with AstroTurf exclusively, so good, great product. It's the best one out there.
And what's the name of it?
It's just AstroTurf. Is it? Well, the company's Mid-America Sports Construction, but we work exclusively with AstroTurf and then obviously building natural fields too. So
a lot of high school fields or any fields?
Oh, everything. We do everything. We've done the hottest thing right now is baseball, softball fields, bar none, parks and recs and things all over the country want that because it's more playability. And, you don't have to go mow it or line it or water it and do all that, but you can play a lot of games on it. But it's still nothing like playing on a great grass field now. and the Pirates had one of the best I've ever been on that and Arizona State, I think, were the two that always stand out in my mind as far as just quality, surface and everything. And it was two special places. So, awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
I appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on with us. And
yeah.
Good luck to that, and definitely stay in touch with us. Hope we can catch up with you sometime down the road.
You bet. Go Pirates.
Guys, what a tremendous guy. Ken Matosh was unbelievable. In fact, I mean, he's actually selling the turf and stuff that we could actually use for the indoor practice facility. It's something I'm going to keep talking about that until the administration, let's make a commitment to that. And I'm not being critical. It's something that's a necessity. It's not a fantasy anymore to have an indoor practice facility. And I know you said it, Kyle. I'm going to pitch it to you about the indoor practice facility. You actually made the point, if UAB has it, no offense to them, but if they have it, then East Carolina should have already had it years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Dave Hart is championing that big right now, that that needs to be the next endeavor, is to get an indoor practice facility. I actually spoke with Mark Washington last night at the Nostalgia Party, and he was talking about UAB's indoor practice facility and how they did it smart and on a budget. And that's something we should look at. It doesn't, you know, you want it to be nice, but you don't have to have, like with the new press box for building where it's going to be one of the best in the country, you like to have the best you can, but sometimes you just need something. And we need to get an indoor practice facility. We need to get something where these boys, when there's a lightning storm that comes up, they can practice. When it's you want to practice in the rain some, but it's hard to teach in the rain. It's hard to install game plans.
Right.
You want them to be able to get in out of the weather and practice, and we got to get this indoor practice facility done. It's something that needs to happen within the next couple of years.
What we need to do is, again, I'm going to mention this again. I know that, Bubba, you're new to the team, but I know you heard it, me and Kyle talking about before. Maybe what we should do is, I'm going to put you guys on, let's do this, not for tonight, obviously, but let's actually come up, can we come up with the three of us, sit down at the table, let's come up with a master plan of necessities. First, we need to put what's needed right now, an indoor practice facility for not only football, as Scotty said, which he agreed with me in the interview, if you guys remember, but also it would help out all the athletic teams, period. So let's get that. And do you guys in favor of that, to do a make a master list of our own?
Sounds good.
We don't have to actually come up with it tonight, so that's a whole other show, as they say. But I tell you what, I just want to thank both of you guys while I have this chance publicly. It meant the world to me. It was obviously emotional for me to have to do the podcast by myself when one of my really good friends and I came up with the idea together. And to lose Dave like I did, not to have him on a single podcast was tough. You guys, starting out with Kyle initially, I appreciate you, man, very much for stepping up to the plate. I know you didn't have to, but you did. You've been consistent, Old Faithful, as I call you. That's my nickname for you. You've been there every time I called you, and now being a part of the team, it means a lot. You did a lot for the party, for the Nostalgia Party. It means a lot. And, I mean, then you've got the new addition of you, Bubba. I just want to acknowledge you for all the, not only that, but I wanted to tease some stuff we've got coming up too that you're working on behind the scenes. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And we're going to have multiple previews headed your way. That's what we're going to have, a State of North Carolina high school football preview. It's probably going to be at least two parts, where we'll focus on the eastern part of the state, and then we'll have another part where we're focusing on the western part of the state. And we'll hit on all the major markets. We're really reaching out to the prep sports writers and markets such as Charlotte, Asheville, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, obviously the Triangle, Wilmington, those major areas, as well as other areas where there's quality football. And we'll be talking to the sports writers as well as coaches and maybe some players, who knows. But in addition to the high school preview, we'll have a FBS preview, where we're going to take a look at all 10 FBS conferences, the P5 and the G5, and we'll have the likes of Tom Luganville from ESPN, which is, of course, or Tom Luganville is, of course, a regular on College Football Live, sideline reporter, commentator, a variety of hats for ESPN. But
great guy, by the way, a great guy.
And then we'll also be talking to folks from like Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network, Peter Burns from the SEC Network, and a lot of very knowledgeable people when it comes to college football.
That's right, and I will say this. In a few weeks, we have breaking news of our own, and I'm just going to tease it like that. Guys, don't say anything, but I'm going to tease it like that. And people are going to be – there's some folks that are going to be very, very happy when they hear our news. So I know I'm happy. I'm excited. We've got so many things coming up. The after party is definitely a labor of love between myself, Bubba, and Kyle for coming up with ideas. We've got other shows we're working on, ideas we have, and just organizing those. It's we got so many ideas. We're putting them down on paper, and then the guys are working really hard with me behind the scenes. I tell you what, I could talk to you guys all night, but we've gone well over the hour. But you know what? It's our show, so we can do that. And I just want to thank you guys again for all your hard work. And thanks to all the folks on Facebook Live. We had over 1,000. It's going up after this podcast. I'm sure it'll be even higher than that. But the last check, we had well over 1,000 views on Facebook, so it means a lot.
By the way, let me step in here. If you're going and viewing that video on Facebook, we really appreciate it. But while you're viewing it, click that little like bar. Like the page. Like the Sports Objective Facebook page. Then you get to see all the cool news we release on the Sports Objective Facebook page.
And you never know of things that we're going to be doing in the fall, right, Kyle? I mean, I know one thing in particular that they'll need to definitely like the Facebook page, because I'll just go ahead and say it. We're going to be writing stuff on our opinions on football and sports, and we're going to have that on the Facebook page itself to put that. So do you remember saying agreeing to that? Yeah, you're getting really quiet. So
yeah, I remember agreeing to that. Writing. Absolutely. I'll be happy to give my opinion.
You never, yeah, please don't hold back, right?
No problem.
Well, Bubba, again, thank you for everything you've done. He's done a great job as the player coordinator and coaching coordinator for the party. And then he's been scheduling interviews. He's trying to get rid of my voice. I think it's just going to come down to two guys doing a podcast, and that would be Bubba and Kyle. But we're going to have fun doing the podcast. It's just been a tremendous the last couple months with you guys have been working with me. It's been outstanding. And it showed Saturday night. If you haven't heard the Nostalgia Party podcast, then you can actually hear that. We've got that archived, and it's up everywhere now, right, Bubba?
Yep. You can, of course, go to the Sports Objective Facebook page and watch it there. And like Dave said a moment ago, it's been viewed 1,100 times since last night. And also, you can go to where you always listen to your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, etc. That's what. So there are many avenues to listen, and hopefully you'll do just that. And just stay tuned for the after party. It's going to start tomorrow, and it's going to continue for a good couple weeks. And that's what we have. A lot of great interviews with many former Pirate players, coaches, and support staff headed your way, and I know you're going to enjoy it.
Every day or two, as soon as we can put one together, we've got so many interviews, and we're putting them together, folks. I promise you that you're going to have a lot of fun. Well, speaking of fun, guys, we're going to close things out. I want to first, Kyle, you have any parting thoughts before we go?
Just thanks, everybody, again, for coming out last night. I want to give a shout-out to my friend and coworker Mark Connor, for doing a great job designing the T-shirts that everybody got last night for free. The design was my idea. He took my idea and added his own creativity to it and made it a vision. And We came up with some cool-looking T-shirts. His art, I printed them. Hope everybody liked them.
In fact, we could actually put that picture on our – let's do that. We'll put the picture on the Facebook page so folks can see it. And maybe down the line, if they want a T-shirt, they can just get up with me, David Richmond at thesportsobjective.com, and we'll talk about that. And also, I want to give a shout-out to your sister, Heather, who actually did a great job with she did a great job with – taking pictures, official photographer. We had your wife, Jessica, did a nice job. we got to thank her because she helped us with Facebook Live our very first
time. Yeah, thank you, David, for remembering to thank my wife and sister. I didn't remember to thank my wife and sister, but David Richmond did. Thank you, David.
Well, actually, I want to make sure you see, keep you out of the doghouse because I want you with me along. I don't want you in the doghouse. I want you to be on the podcast. So.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not sure if this is going to help me or hurt me, but I appreciate it.
Well, I'm trying to help you, so if they're listening, forgive me. Get mad at me and not Kyle. Well, Bubba, do you have any parting thoughts you want to say?
I just want to say thank you to you for all your kind words, and obviously you're the one that has the bulk of, or all the experience, not just the bulk of the experience in the broadcasting business, and you certainly taught Kyle and I a lot, and we're very appreciative to you for having us on to be able to communicate our thoughts and just talk about something we're passionate about and Pirate football and just ECU athletics in general, and as well as just sports overall. But just thanks so much, and I look forward to what the future holds with Sports Objective.
That's right. We've got a bright future. We've got so many ideas, so little time. Guys, thank you so much. In fact, we're going to wrap it up. Until next time, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.